It seems so often I have the privilege of coming up here and sharing some tale of the everyday that somehow relates to the gospel story that we heard or the message that we're talking about that day or something else that's going on. Usually something happens during the week that just sort of triggers an idea. But then there are other weeks where it seems like nothing out of the ordinary goes on at all. Everyday routine just sort of goes on and on with no apparent change, just day after day of the same old, same old. And what we and our neighbors and people across this region would give for one of those weeks right now is beyond my imagination. I hate to think what some of us in this room would give up for a week like that right now. I mean, I tell you, I'm often among the first of people to mock the news and the weather people talking about this week's storm of the century or some incredibly unanticipated, unprecedented event. I get tired of the hype. I get tired of the storms that don't live up to the hype. Oh, how I wish they had been wrong this week. Friends, I clearly don't need to tell you that we have been through one heck of a storm. And I wish we could say we were through it all at this point, but the kids in Montclair won't be back to school until Wednesday at the latest. Many of you may not have power next week at this time. God knows when the transportation system will be up and running, and the places that we visit on the shore may never be the same. And we will never be the same either. We have been changed by this storm. It's now part of our collective memory. Years from now, the utterance of Sandy will bring back memories of darkness, coldness, long gas lines, and God knows what else. And I have to tell you, the name Sandy is declining rapidly on the most popular baby names list right now for both boys and girls. Now, it seems that most of us are thankful for how little damage was done to us. Scores lost their lives and homes. But for most of us, this has just been one really, really big inconvenience. And the cold and the dark certainly take their toll with each passing day. But for the most part, we know that we are all right and that all will be well. This was a week to remember. And it's a chance for us to ask one of my favorite questions that comes up again and again. Where is God in this? Why, if we have such a loving God, are there storms like this? Why is there so much suffering? Lord, if only you had been here. Lord, if only you had been here. Usually, as quickly as we ask that question, we answer it in our heads, and the answer in our heads differs from the realities that we see. Lord, if only you had been here, people would not have died. Lord, if only you had been here, livelihoods would not be lost. Lord, if only you had been here, we would be warm. Lord, if only you had been here, we would have a faster, more reliable internet connection. Lord, if only you had been here. We think we know what God would do and be. We think the patterns that we've seen before from God are a clear indication of where God is going next. We think we know God and can predict God better than we can predict the weather. And I don't care what computer model you use, you're not always going to get it right when you try to forecast God. And the really good news in this is that we are so often wrong. Even in the midst of an unimaginable tragedy and suffering, God always has a surprise for us in store. God always reveals God's self to us in some new way that gives us hope and moves us forward. God shows us that Jesus is alive and real and relevant to our lives today. whatever we may face. You know, we saw the same thing happen in the gospel story today that Diana just read. When Jesus was brought to the grave of his friend Lazarus, Mary cried out to him, "Lord, if only you had been here, he would not have died." Same cry that we make. If only you had been here. She thinks she knows that it would have been different. Now, my favorite part of the story, though, is Jesus' reaction. So telling about how loved we are by God. The gospel story says, Jesus began to weep. The surprise in this is not that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, but just how much Jesus cares for us, no matter what's going on. See how he loved him, the gospel says. See how Jesus loves us, our lives say. There are other stories in the Gospels about Jesus raising people from the dead, whether it was the daughter of Jairus or the man from Nain. But what stands out in this story is just how much our Jesus cares. And look at this also. Jesus doesn't promise us in this that nothing bad will ever happen. But Jesus promises us that we will be loved, that we are loved. And in that love, we will see God, and we will see God's love in new ways. That's what happened to all of those who witnessed this story with Lazarus. And it's what happens on the bright side of any and every tragedy, including this storm we just went through. For all the stories that we've heard of guns being drawn in gas lines, price gouging and looting after the storm, there are hundreds and thousands of more untold stories about people reaching out to each other in unexpected ways. When we reach out to each other, we are the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus alive today. We are the saints of God that we celebrate on this All Saints Sunday. And I'm not sure we could dream up a more appropriate background event than this storm and its aftermath, in which to celebrate All Saints Sunday, all the saints, who they are, and what they do. From where I've been this week, I have not seen looting or price gouging or drawn guns. I have seen long gas lines. But I've seen loving and caring and compassion on display right here. The statement is not, "Lord, if you had been here," but, "Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here every single day." As we opened the doors of St. Luke's this week, people poured in, seeking warmth, seeking a recharge for their phones, their computers, and their exhausted souls. And because of what you all do to support this place ongoing, we've been able to open our doors every day from 9 in the morning to 9 at night, and hundreds of people have come through. The saints of God that I've seen this week are many of you coming in here to help out and host, even in the midst of your own unsettled lives. To find creative crafts for kids who are bored out of their skulls, to make coffee, to use their last bits of gas to pick somebody else up, to offer showers, to offer a place to sleep, to offer a ride. Scores of you in here yesterday preparing the meal for tonight, our big din, only to go home to your own cold, dark kitchen. Tony's Kitchen volunteers using their last bits of gas to come in here and prepare meals on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, not only for our regular guests at Tony's Kitchen, but for the people here seeking refuge. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are alive and well. And Lord, we are thankful. Today, on this All Saints Sunday, we celebrate all the saints, living and dead. We will read the names of those who've died in the past year. And we will celebrate a couple of baptisms. This sacrament by which we are adopted as the children of God and acknowledged as full members of the body of Christ. My friends, that is a good body to be part of. Seeing what I have seen this week, I can guarantee you that this is something that you want to be part of. This is something that you can and should commit your life to. This is something that you can dedicate your life to and give life to others by giving of your time and talent and treasure. The way this community has come together this week, imperfectly perfect, sharing our broken parts to create something more than any of us could create alone, is nothing short of a miracle. And our annual All Saints celebration tonight, the big din. Yes, the New York City Marathon should have been canceled, but probably not our big din. Because our big din is in its essence a meal of thanksgiving. And this year, I think it'll harken back to the original Thanksgiving meal when the pilgrims and the Native Americans came together after having weathered something they couldn't imagine to give thanks to God. No, all their problems weren't over. Certainly they would face challenges ahead. But to stop and give thanks to God, to come together and share in the blessings that we have, is another unimaginable gift. The same room that we're going to be eating in tonight will be so warm and cozy. It is the room that has sheltered people throughout this past week and probably will shelter people in the week ahead. My friends, there will be more storms and challenges ahead, likely beyond our imaginations. Jesus will be there, weeping for us in the terror, destruction, and inconvenience of our disrupted lives. But Jesus is always there, caring deeply. Jesus is always there, revealing God's love to us in new ways through the saints who continually walk among us. Together, we can and will hold our broken world in prayer. Our neighbors, our neighborhoods, those who have lost everything, those who have lost their lives. But just importantly on this day, we will hold the saints of God in prayer. All of those who care for the broken in each other, today and every day. And in those prayers, in the baptism that we're going to celebrate, we can have hope and joy. Hope in the knowledge that the Lord is there, that the Lord is here, that God is with us through all that we encounter. And hope that we continue to act as saints of God's in this and through this. I am truly sorry for the struggles that so many of you have been through and will continue through in the upcoming week. But deeply, deeply grateful for your sainthood that has been on display in bold, beautiful colors. This is who we are and what we are about as we joyfully seek and serve Christ in this place. In the worst that the world has to offer, we see the best in God. And we always will. Amen.